Bow your heads in prayer with me. Father God, in the bold name of Jesus, we ask that through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you will raise our awareness of your presence with us this morning. That Spirit, you will well up from within us where you dwell in the depths of our heart, that you will descend down upon us in ways that draw us into your presence that is here with us as we gather in this sanctuary, in this safe place where we have the freedom through Christ to abide with you. And may we be so bold to ask, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would speak to our hearts, that these words would be yours, and that they would land upon ears that are open to you, upon minds that are seeking your word, upon hearts that desire to live out your will, Lord. So pour out your blessings, we ask, in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Colossians, listed as chapter 3, verses 12 through 17 in your bulletin. I can't bring myself to read 12 through 17 without reading 1 through 11. So we're going to begin with Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, read through verse 17. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. And do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourself with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I wonder if you've ever been given a new shirt, maybe a new t-shirt, or you've bought a new t-shirt and you put it on and you're like, you know, it's nice. But when it comes to what you want to wear, you throw off the old shirt and you put on the old one that's broken in and comfortable and probably has a few holes in it because it's comfortable. It fits well. It's broken in. It's soft. Or a new pair of shoes that look nice and shiny, but when you go to the closet the next day, you look at those new shoes and you go to reach for them, but instead of putting on the new shoes, you grab the older ones that are a little scuffed up. Why? Because they're broken and they're comfortable and they fit your feet just perfectly. And so you have these new options that look nicer and maybe more fitting for the occasion, but you can't bring yourself to wear them because you love so much the comfort that the old clothes bring. And I've been wondering this week if our faith in Christ and our spirituality may be similar. That it's not as easy as we often think to pursue Christ. It's not as easy as we often think it will be to put on these things that Paul is commending us to put on. To live out our faith in our day-to-day lives where the struggles are real. In a broken world where we're surrounded by brokenness. It's not as comfortable, perhaps, as our old way of living and navigating in this world. And so while we may find ourselves wanting what's new, wanting what's of the kingdom, wanting what's in Jesus Christ, we can find ourselves turning back to the old, putting on the things that are a little more comfortable, perhaps being stuck in that pattern of living. And as Paul writes these words to the church in Colossae, to the Colossians, I believe this is what he's getting at. He's writing to a community of faith that's struggling to live out this newfound faith in Christ. And in that struggle, to get a little context of the letter, they've been wondering, is everything we have sufficient in Jesus Christ? Or are there perhaps other powers of the world, other things going on in the spiritual realm, perhaps angels or things like that we can turn to get a little bit more of a push for the spiritual life? And in the midst of that, Paul writes this letter and says, we have everything we have or need for this faith and life in Jesus Christ, who is supreme over all authorities and powers and principalities in this world. And so in affirming to them and in affirming to us today that Christ is enough, that our relationship with Jesus Christ is sufficient, there are some incredible truths about you found in these verses that are the foundation of all that he's speaking to us as he commends us to live out our faith in Christ. And so I just want to read through these truths that are about you and about me. He begins by saying, if you have been raised with Christ, if you are in relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, all of these things are true about you. Now, this idea of raised points to a future resurrection, but speaks to aspects of a resurrection that are true for us today. And I'm going to ask Megan to put this image of a baptismal font up on the wall. What Paul's referring to in being raised brings in this image of being baptized. Now, when Christ came, following the resurrection and ascension, people began to be converted to Christianity. And so they practiced baptism as a part of that conversion. And then as people became baptized, they also then had their families baptized. But the earliest baptisms would have been adult believer baptisms as people converted and aligned themselves to the faith. And so a lot of thought went into creating these baptismal fonts. And I actually showed you this image, I'm sure all of you remember. I preached on this passage 5 years ago to yesterday, October 21st, 5 years ago, I preached on Colossians 3 and used this image. And you see, there are stairs on each side of it, where you would disrobe and walk down into the font, where you would be put down under the water as you die to Christ, and then as you are raised with Christ. Brought out of the water is a new creation. And so that's what Paul's speaking of, being raised to Christ. He says, for you've died, you've been put under. You've died to the old self, to the old way of life, to the old view of the world, to your former presuppositions about what was true. And you've now aligned yourself to something new in Jesus Christ. And so he speaks to that reality for us, who even centuries later, many centuries later, have come to faith in Christ, have died to the old patterns of the world and been raised in our faith in Jesus Christ. He says, you've died to those things. And when, and that your life is hidden with Christ in God. In other words, you have been clothed with the robe of righteousness. And everything about your old way of life has been hidden in Jesus. It's been covered. So that you are complete in God. So that everything you need, you have in Christ. And your life is hidden with Him. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, when Christ returns and comes in all that glory, you too will be revealed with Him in glory. There is a day coming in the future where all that is true of you will also be real of you. And you, and me, and all followers of Jesus Christ will shine with the glory that's within us, that's rooted in Jesus Christ, as we perfectly and finally bear the image of our Creator. And as we look forward to that day, there's a way that we can live that points to it, that speaks to it. Because this is also what's true about you and me, that we've stripped off the old self and its practices. By the nature of entering into this water, or coming to faith, or having a conversion experience, having an awakening to Jesus Christ, that when we've aligned ourselves with Jesus Christ, we've stripped off the old. And I want you to imagine being at a place in your life where you've said to yourself, I'm going to enter into this font and align myself with Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior and my Redeemer. And so the first thing that you would do, the first thing I would do, is we would take off the old, representing this old way of life, and we would step down into the water. And we would have this experience of dying to Christ and being raised. And now you have a decision. Do I walk back out of the font the same way I entered and put on those old clothes that are comfortable? I've been wearing them a long time. That robe fits pretty well. It's just broken in just right. Or do I step back out the other side of the font and pick up a new robe and clothe myself in a way that's appropriate to this decision and confession that I've made to align myself with Jesus? So Paul says to the Colossians, you've clothed yourselves with the new self. By nature of what you've done in your baptism and your alignment and your confession in Jesus Christ as Lord, you've taken off the old and you've clothed yourself with the new. And you are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its Creator. You are in this process of transformation now, where the Holy Spirit has come to dwell in you and is renewing you as you are aligned with Christ, because he says Christ is all and in all. That we have everything we need in Jesus Christ as we are made new and in this process of renewal. We are God's chosen ones. Now, there's all kinds of things we could get into theologically about what that means. I would love for you to just set that aside and consider this. God picked you. God picked you. The Lord looked upon your life and said, "You. I want you on my team. You. I want you in my family." Think about Christ coming to you. Maybe right now in this space and saying, "You. I want you. Come to me." So we've been chosen. We've been picked by God. And listen to these two truths. We are holy. He doesn't say, "And you will be holy." He says, "You are holy." Sanctified, set apart for service. Set apart in your lifestyle and in your purpose. And not only are you chosen and holy, but you are beloved. God, who chooses you, who sets you apart, loves you with a love that's deeper than any love we've experienced on this earth. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, help us to experience a deep sense of the Father's love, of these things that are true, of you and me, already, as we sit right now, today, in Jesus Christ. So why do we struggle so much to live that out? I think that's a question we need to wrestle with a little bit this morning. All of these things are true. Why aren't they more real? And why at times, it's gone. Has that font disappeared? Why at times do we get a sense of, "Yeah, I've been here, I've been dunked, I've been risen"? Do we take off the old robe and say, "You know that old," or the new robe and say, "You know that old one's a little more comfortable. I got this nice shiny robe of righteousness over here, but I kind of feel a little more comfortable in this one with the holes." Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about core longings. I want to talk to you again about core longings. I'd love for you to open up your bulletin to where you would normally find some sort of sermon outline, and you'll find back there a hand, and on that hand will be listed 6 core longings. These are desires of our hearts that are common to you and me and every other person created in the image of God. Now, we could probably come up with some other list, but I think you'll understand the idea here. That within each of us, upon birth, there are desires in our hearts that we have. That's true of all of us. A desire to belong, to feel like we're a part of something, a part of a group. A desire to love and be loved. It's in our nature. If we do not receive that upon our birth, we do not grow into health and wholeness. A desire to be secure, to feel secure in our lives and in our relationships. The core longing of understanding, or to be understood, is what that means. Not that we have this intellectual understanding, but that we feel understood by God and others. That there's an empathy that we experience in our relationships. This core longing for purpose. We were created to do things, to have a purpose in life, and we have that longing. We each have it. And then this core longing of significance. To feel significant, like we matter. Like someone looks upon us and says, "You, I chose you. You, I love you. You, you're the apple of my eye." I don't know why that phrase just came to mind. To feel significant in our relationships with others. And what I would say is that these core longings first and foremost are to be met fully in our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And then in our relationships with others as it plays out in our faith. But that's what Paul means in essence when he says Christ is all and in all. That what is unifying about all of us is that we are now in Jesus Christ. And because these longings, these desires that each of us have can be met in Jesus Christ, there are two things that should be true of our lives, that can be true of our lives. And those are where we find the two therefores in our passage this morning. Now, in the NRSV, it only translates one of them as therefore. In the NIV, it picks up the second one, translates it as therefore. But they're both present there in the Greek. The first is, put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly. Whatever you bring into the font, when you strip off the robe and step into the water, put it to death. You took the clothes off. Let's work on our lives so that we stop putting them back on. Now, how does this relate to core longings? Because if we understand this sense of core longings and desires, we will realize that oftentimes the reason at the core that we go back and put on the old clothes, that we find ourselves caught up in this old way of life, is because we are trying to meet the longings and desires of our heart with things of the world. And so Paul tells us, put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly. Put to death, therefore, these things in your life where you are turning to the things of the world to meet your longings and desires of your heart. Because the reality of our lives is that we are broken people in a broken world, and that we all have voids in each of these areas. And so from very early on in life, we are seeking to fill those voids. And as we seek to fill those voids, we get used to filling them in certain ways that are often ways of the world. I want to read to you a paragraph from a book I read a week ago called Abba's Child. Great book written by Brennan Manning. This is towards the end of the book. And he's actually quoting another guy named Anthony DeMello, who writes this in a book called The Way to Love. He says, look at your life and see how you have filled its emptiness with people. As a result, they have a stranglehold on you. See how they control your behavior by their approval and disapproval. They hold the power to ease your loneliness with their company, to send your spirits soaring with their praise, to bring you down to the depths with their criticism and rejection. Take a look at yourself spending almost every waking moment of your day placating and pleasing people, whether they are living or dead. You live by their norms, conform to their standards, seek their company, desire their love, dread their ridicule, long for their applause, and meekly submit to the guilt they lay upon you. And you are terrified to go against the fashion in the way you dress or act or speak, or even think. And observe how even when you control them, you still depend on them and are enslaved by them. People have become so much a part of your being that you cannot even imagine living a life that is unaffected or uncontrolled by them. I have a love-hate relationship with that paragraph since I read it a couple weeks ago. I believe that it speaks to such truth about the way we live our lives, and I hate the fact that it's true. You see, we have voids in our lives, and we seek to fill those voids. And perhaps the primary way we seek to fill those voids are in other people. And we turn to things of the world and things in the world and people in the world to fill those voids. I think we can figure this out pretty quickly if I give you a couple examples. If I struggle to feel this sense, this longing to belong, then how might that desire be met by other people? I'm going to join groups or clubs or organizations. Why do cults exist? How do gangs exist? How do people come to a place in their life where they're saying, I'm willing to do all of this so that I can belong here? We place our identity in the reality or the fact that we belong to this group. And we're willing to compromise whatever we need to compromise to remain in this group. I would say that we'd have to be honest that many people belong to churches. Not first and foremost out of their desire to live obediently to their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but because they found a place where they belong. And it's good to belong. We need to have that desire met. But Jesus came so that we can first have that desire met in Him. What about if we struggle to feel loved by others? If that's a void in our life, can we see how we might turn to people in relationships to fill that void? How we can quickly and easily become unhealthy in those relationships. How we can very quickly compromise ourselves in the midst of those relationships because at all costs, I need to maintain it in order to feel loved and have this void met in my life. And look through these things that Paul's listing to the Colossians. He's saying, put to death these things. How many of them fit into this category? Things that we can so easily turn to out of a desire to have this void filled in our life. What if I struggle to feel secure in my relationships and in this world? Well, then it would be natural for me, right, to turn to my job to try to find that security, to try to meet that need, to turn to my work, to my success, to my fame, to my money, to my possessions, etc., 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 to try to meet this need of feeling secure in my life. If there are areas in our lives where we are struggling this morning, and there are for all of us, one way that we can begin to work on those areas is to spend some time looking at these core longings and ask the Lord to help us discern, which core longing am I trying to fulfill by this area in which I'm struggling? And then we do the work of beginning to ask Jesus to strip that away. Ask the Holy Spirit to begin to do the work within us so that instead of turning to the old ways of life, we can then turn to what's new, where we can have those voids filled first and foremost by Jesus. In order to do that, developing our intimacy with the Lord becomes so important. Where we're willing to sit with Christ and believe these truths that are evident in our lives and say, do this work in me. Because in order to be loved by God, we need to spend time in God's loving presence. And only in order to feel like we belong to God as God's children, we need to spend time fostering that relationship. And as that happens, as those core longings are more firmly established and met in Jesus Christ, then it becomes more easy for us to freely wear the new clothes that we've been given as we come outside the other end of the font, the baptismal font. They feel more comfortable to us. We fit into them better because we understand that that robe was made perfectly to fit the person who's bearing the image of God. And as we come to more and more reflect Jesus Christ, the clothes that are appropriate for us to wear as followers of Jesus Christ become more comfortable. And so Paul says, therefore, clothe yourselves with compassion, this tender mercy for those around us, kindness, this affection and goodwill, this unselfishness that we can have towards others, humility. Humility is a lowliness. It's a way of doing life where we esteem those around us better than ourselves. Let me tell you, you can't live into humility unless your significance is being met in Jesus Christ. Because if your significance is being met on your perception of others, how are you ever going to look upon them better and more highly than you look upon yourself? Meekness. Clothe yourself with meekness. Meekness doesn't mean you're weak. Meekness means you're strong enough to deny yourself as you walk in grace towards others. To intentionally take a position of downward mobility, as Henry Nouwen would say. To say, I'm going to allow myself to enter into this relationship, to engage these people in a position of lowliness, and I have the strength in Christ to be there in that place. Clothe yourselves with patience, with long-suffering is another way of translating that word. And especially patience while being provoked. Have you ever been there where you're in a relationship where there's just this provoking? And it may or may not be intentional. It's just there. How we learn how to be patient in that. Some days our kids may or may not fit into that category. Forgive me, Mom and Dad. There were days I fit into that category for you. To bear with one another. To be patient with one another's failings. And I love this phrase. One commentary said, or odd ways of our brothers and sisters in Christ. To be patient with one another's odd ways. I love that because we are odd people, all of us. And yet we come together in unity in Christ and faith. We need to bear with one another, to be patient with one another in that. To forgive each other just as the Lord has forgiven you. And so in forbearance, we do our best to not take offense. And in forgiveness, when we do take offense, we don't hold on to it. We're to clothe ourselves with love. It's the belt that holds on all the other virtues and garments. We're to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The Greek word that's translated rule is like umpire. Let peace be the umpire of our hearts. All right? When we're trying to figure out and discern what's right or wrong or good or bad, let peace, that peace, be the umpire. And it's not a peace that comes by removing ourselves from people. It's a peace that we have while in community as a member of God's church. We're to be thankful. No matter our situation, when we're in Jesus Christ, there are always things to be thankful for. To let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. For the word to dwell, we need to read the word, to meditate upon the word, to be open to the Word, to invite the Word to come and manifest in our hearts and lives so it dwells in us. As we teach and admonish one another in wisdom, again, as members of a community, with gratitude in our hearts, singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in all of your life, in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Why? Because Christ is all and in all. Whatever you do, all of life. We were just talking about this in Sunday school class. The word vocation. Oftentimes when we think about that word, we think of our job, our career. Well, vocation biblically means so much more than that. It's rooted in the word vox, which means voice. And our vocation is a response to God's voice calling to us. And it speaks to a way of life, all of life, and not just a specific career. And so our career hopefully falls out of our vocation and our response to God's calling. It's a small part of it. But our vocation as believers in Jesus Christ is our entire life. It's a way of living in response to God's voice that's called us as children. So that whatever we do, in word or deed, we do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the clothes we're to wear as followers of Jesus Christ. And when we can be with Jesus and have these longings met, first and foremost in Him, it frees us up to live this way because we don't need to have them met with one another. And yet, if we're in relationship with one another, desiring that other person to meet our deepest longings, we're setting ourselves up and we're setting them up. Because no one person in this life can meet the longings that are meant to be met by Jesus Christ in our relationship with God. And so I would ask you, do you think the world needs more of this? Do you think the world needs more people who are clothing themselves in compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, who are willing to bear with one another and forgive one another, who are clothing themselves with love, seeking to hold together in harmony, allowing the peace of Christ to rule in the hearts? The world needs more people that are clothed in gratitude and thanksgiving, where the Word of God is dwelling deeply within them. I've gotten decent at figuring out about how many people gather here on Sunday morning, and this morning I would say, without the kids, we're at about 75 in here. 75 of us in here this morning. I would ask you this question. What kind of impact can 75 people have if we're to go out these doors today and live lives of kindness and compassion and humility? To live lives of meekness and patience. To live lives where we're bearing with one another, forgiving one another. To live lives of love and peace and gratitude. What kind of impact can 75 of us have in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our careers? I believe it to be significant. If we can step out of the water and wear the robe that is placed upon us by Jesus Christ. But what I would tell you is the first step towards impacting the world in that way is to look inward to yourself. To ask ourselves, where am I falling short? If someone else provokes us today, this afternoon, as we leave here, something provokes us, the question isn't, what did they do to provoke me? The question is, what's within me that allowed me to be provoked by them? And when we begin to look inward in that, what desire wasn't being met by them that allowed me to be provoked? And is that a desire that I need to ask Jesus to meet in my life? Part of our vision and mission statements, there's this little phrase that talks about the renewal and the restoration of all things. And at the end of it, it says, and let it begin with me. Because if there's ever going to be a movement of God, it begins in the heart of an individual. Therefore, clothe yourselves in a way that's appropriate to one who's a follower of Jesus Christ. How is the Lord speaking to your heart in this moment? We're just going to take a moment of silence. I'd encourage you to listen. And let it begin with me, Lord. Where is that place to begin? Let's spend a few moments in prayer. Lord God, as we sit here in your presence this morning, I just pray especially that that phrase, that truth, that Christ is all and is in all, will sink deeply into our hearts. That we already have everything we need in Jesus Christ to live out our faith. That through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you can come and you can meet those deep desires of our heart in such a way that we can be so secure in you, in our relationship with you, that we can freely live out our faith in a way that takes your love and your kindness and your gentleness and your forgiveness and your mercy and your grace to the world around us. Lord, I pray for each of us that those areas in our life where we're still clinging to that old garment, to that ratty old holy t-shirt that we love to wear and put on because it's comfortable, Lord, that those areas in each of our lives, that you will reveal those to us. That you'll do your ongoing work of renewal and transformation in our lives, Lord, that we would put on the new robe, the new clothes, the new way of living that reflects your image to the world around us. Holy Spirit, come and draw us closer and closer to yourself. Help us to experience your love in such a way that our desires, our deepest desires, are met in you. And we ask that as we stand and sing this next song together, Lord, that it becomes a simple prayer of our hearts where we invite you in to continue this process of renewal within us. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.